wants to be what? Like the Most High. That has been the devil's plan from the beginning, that he wants to be God. He wants to be higher than God. He wants to be like God. He's got modern Christians into imitating different people and different things, and imitating God and imitating Jesus, imitating the apostles. And it's not for us. It's not for our sake. It's for his sake. This whole thing has been leavening the whole lump. As the lump gets leavened, he gets lifted. And we have seen how he's gone after this and that and these people, and we've seen all of his devices, or a lot of his devices. And just when I kind of think that he's kind of run out of devices, God allows us to see another one that he's doing. I mean, he's already got the unsaved people. People don't care about the Bible anymore. They could care less about that. They could care less about your salvation that you preach. The devil has done his job. He's done it well. He's got to go after the King James people. While he's going after the King James people, if he can't get their souls, which he can't, if he loses them to the book and to the Lord, then he's got to mess with them. And he messes with their praises. And what we're sending back to him in most Bible-believing churches are polluted praises. So he's got that thing. And we'll preach about that, I suppose, as long as the Lord said to get up, rise quickly, and do it. So we will. And he's going after still. There's a crowd in there that still wants to hang in there tight. And he's got to do something for them. He's got to get them somehow. And it has to be very subtle. And if you're enough of a Bible believer, you will realize that there is a difference between good and bad. And you will realize that a lot of the things that were good in the old days are now called bad. And a lot of the things that were bad in the old days are now being called good. We realize all that from Isaiah. Turn to Jeremiah 6. And so we realize that. And there are people that still hang in there, and they still want to do right. They just want to do right. This morning is just an introduction. I'm being nice. I'm just giving you the introduction this morning. And you're going to hear some stuff you've heard before. But I guess if you want to say that phrase that they say impressed on your heart or whatever, it's like we need to go over this stuff one more time before I hit you with the details tonight. I'll give you some details tonight. It's going to sound like I'm picking at somebody and going after some specific group or organization. And I suppose I am. But you know, if you go after Alpha, the Alpha program, you're talking about modern Christianity. It's not a specific program. So if you use the Alpha program, you can explain to your children or to yourself or to your friends what modern Christianity is all about. Alpha just covers it all. This movie from Mel Gibson, it just explains what everybody thinks they need to do for their salvation, and they think they need to suffer it. So if they go to this movie, they will experience the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and they'll come out of there with their lives changed because he has done what he's done, but they come out of there with a false gospel that'll damn them forever. It's an amazing thing. What's going on? Well, this is a classic verse, and I preach this verse umpteen times in a little home church back in South Dakota. This was a big verse for me, Jeremiah chapter 6. And it's still a good verse, but there's something going on in the last 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year especially, and even since we left New York. This kind of got started back there. And it's Jeremiah 6, verse 16. You know the verse is probably even underlined in your Bible. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Boy, that's good, amen? And then it goes right on and says, but they said, we will not hearken. We will not walk therein. It doesn't hearken to the trumpet in the next verse. So we all say we need to go back to the old paths. Modern America has just gone to the dogs. It's just gone down the tubes. It's awful. Guys are marrying guys, and ladies are marrying ladies, if they even go through the procedure at all. And we're just nuts. Look at what politics is doing. It's just unreal. We're hugging the Islamic religion, and we're saying that all their gods are still the same God. There's tons of stuff that's going on that we know is perverted and it's wrong. So we say we ought to go back to the old paths. And we ought to. But if you want a name for this sermon, maybe this will help you what I'm talking about this morning and especially tonight. I'm preaching about the wrong way to the old path. You remember a long time ago I preached a sermon on the wrong way to do right, I think it was. This is along the same lines. There was a couple months ago I preached about holiness churches. Didn't really know much about them. I just saw them on the website, and I got into the Michael Pearl stuff and all these things, and then the Alpha thing, and then modern Christianity. All this stuff started to come together that we are really being taught an Old Testament Christianity in modern Christianity today. Going back to the Old Testament. See, this is what throws people. Going back to Jesus' teachings. Have you said that to anybody yet? I keep bugging you to try that, because they're going to go, what is wrong with teaching Jesus' teachings? Well, I think that we have come to understand there's nothing wrong with Jesus' teachings in the right place. This is not the right time. So amongst all these Jesus' teachings, Jesus tells Paul what we're supposed to walk, and that's what we're looking at here. And it's a whole different gospel than Jesus' gospel, even. And yet, what do you have to believe in to be saved? Jesus Christ. So we're not some cult that's dumping Jesus Christ for some guy named Paul, son. You know, that's not the case at all. We're doing exactly what Jesus told us to do. So anyway, we know if we start off at the top, the devil has always had a copy for something. Well, there's God, well, there's the devil. There's Jesus Christ, there's the Antichrist. You got the Holy Spirit, there's a spirit of Antichrist. You got the Bible, let's be more specific, the King James Bible. And you get all these Bible perversions, you've got these vain words, you've got these fair speeches, you've got psychology, and you've got personality. All that stuff is replacing the Bible in people's lives. You get past the Bible, well, you get into the Bible, you find out you got Moses, and you got Jesus Christ, and the Gospels, and you got the first part of Acts, that's fine. But you also got Paul, go the other direction, Paul, all the way through here, going after the Gentiles, which is everybody but a Jew. And if they believe Paul's Gospel, they get saved, and, oh, I'd say there's marvelous stuff in that Bible. But if you get past the Bible that the devil messed around with, then you find out you got the body of Christ. Remember that chart we did there? You got somebody getting saved, putting their trust in Jesus Christ, nothing else, just trust in Jesus Christ. They go, that error went right away to the work of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit does all that work right up to the top, right to that Bible. Holy Spirit does His work through that book. Then you take that book, and the first thing you got coming down out of there, you got the body of Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. Universal, invisible, call it what you want. We are part of His body. Then you go down from that. Then you got the local body. You got the church. And there is a purpose for the church. And you saw in the chart there the comparison between the body of Christ, universal, and the body of Christ, local. And there's a balance between them both. You can't just pick on one side and emphasize the church, and you can't pick on one side and just emphasize the book. The local church, this place right here, there is a scriptural reason for it, there is a spiritual reason for it, and we come to realize that this local church, it is not for the lost people. It is not for the lost people. And if you don't believe me this morning, I'll put the coat on, maybe that'll help. This church, in this part of the Bible, in this dispensation, at this time, in this age, this local church is for the saved people, the saints, to be edified. And get all that stuff to Ephesians chapter 4. If a lost person needs to get saved, they're going to see you, wherever you go, they're going to want what you have, they're going to wonder about that hope that you have. And if your hope is nothing but the church, then you got the wrong church. You got the wrong emphasis. The emphasis is what the Lord has done for you in that book, in your day-to-day living, and they should want what you've got, and this is where you come to get fed. Now, you're not going to bring some lost person here to get fed because they're not hungry for what we feed them. And I'm not about to change the menu to get people to come in here so I can feed them Jell-O while you folks starve by not getting any meat. Does that make sense? That's not a bit. Do I need to put my coat on yet? I haven't thrown any scriptures yet. We've been over that stuff. Like I say, I now know why these guys could preach 8 hours in a cornfield. There's 8 hours worth of stuff today. And you need every second of it. And I need every second of it. But we'll continue this next week. Goodbye. I spent my 20 minutes. Don't even have my watch up here. Yeah, it is. There it is. Well, actually, I'm only 2 minutes. I must have got an early start. That's cool. So anyway, after that local body of Christ comes the family. And that's not in the chart. I can't get any more in that chart. I would love to just get that in there one more place, shrink that. And Lewis is already going, I can't even read what you got now, Pastor. You might as well put it up there. You know, I can't see that stuff anyway. Well, here's what's happening. The family is under attack. Well, we knew that. I mean, the father's been taken out. The strong man is gone from the family. The man is out of the picture. He's got no more guts than Hershey doesn't either now, as far as that goes. I can't use that anymore. The man's just been taken out of the picture. The woman's been given the strength. The woman's been doing all the stuff. And the kids, the devil's after the kids. He can't get to our treasures. He can't get to our valuables, it says in Luke, until he gets rid of the wife, the mother, and the father. Then he can have the kids. If he gets these children these days, then in about 10 years, get rid of this old generation, let the Oddfellows folks kind of die off. We won't be there anymore because they'll be wanting to listen to rock music in their wheelchairs and all that stuff. And listen to different Bibles if they listen to any Bible at all. Got to get that guy out of this picture. Got to get that woman out of balance with this whole thing. And got to give her the strength because she's the one that's deceivable. And in the meantime, then I'll get their little children. That's what his plan is. Well, we know better that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Do I have to put my coat on for that one? You know, and a man's supposed to marry a woman and you know, and that kind of a thing. So your family's not under attack because we don't believe that sort of stuff. Well, your family is under attack. Seriously under attack. And this particular case, it's horribly subtle. Horribly subtle. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 if you were with this morning. This is probably going to be one of my longer introductions. It's only 25 pages long. It's not bad. It's 5 pages of smaller print, so you ought to be out of here at least by 2. Just kidding, visitors. Just kidding. Everybody else is saying, no, he's not really. You know, it's very possible. 2 Peter chapter 2, when I brought that stuff out about the holiness gang out there and the holiness churches, which I really didn't know much about until I read that stuff, then I went to North Carolina and saw a whole string of them in their phone book. They exist, and they exist in groups. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Well, we were able to go through that stuff, and we were able to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And the verse that we really claimed on here was verse 19. Among the whole chapter there, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they get saved, amen, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and things are worse than they were at the beginning. And what we see here in that holiness crowd and that Old Testament gospel type teaching, and I brought in the homeschool crowd because that's usually where I was seeing some of the problems to take place. They get saved and they want to do right, and these guys made some great promises of liberty. And before and I'm seeing today that homeschool kids and kids and kids that belong to families that they want to do right, that the kids actually, by the time they get old enough, they're not interested. They want out. And when they get a chance, they're gone. And that was the whole premise of all that stuff about the holiness gang. Remember all that? Need to put my coat on? You know? If it helps, hear me this morning. Get past me and let's look at these scriptures here this morning. What I want to talk about here this morning is an outfit called Family Integrated Church. Boy, it sure sounds good. You know, bring the family. You know, and what it is on a general thing, the general title would be like an Old Path Baptist Church. You ever heard of that Old Path Baptist Churches? Now, I know there's one out in New York, and it's an amazing thing to me. I was told the other day that they named their church after because of what I preached back in New York, back when I was teaching the Institute there, and I was big on the Old Paths thing, and they just thought, we'll just call this the Old Paths Baptist Church. I just heard about that about a week ago, and that's pretty exciting. I mean, that's just... That's kind of a neat thing, you know, because I like the thing in Jeremiah. Let's go back to the old paths. Let's go back to that thing. And yet, I mean, these are nice people. They're friendly people. They're Bible-reading people. They love their children. They discipline their children. They teach their children. Family-integrated church means the church is geared around the family. Boy, that sounds good. And it is good, you know. The kids are obedient little children. Most of these are King James people. They follow the order of the home. They dress modestly. Kids are usually well-educated. Dads are involved in discipline, the daily routine, and the whole thing. Man, don't you like anything? Well, their emphasis, as the websites and the advertisement logos go, is rebuilding the Christian family, one house at a time. Boy, that sounds so good. Folks, my biggest concern here is for you and your family. But you know what they're doing? They are redesigning the family. They're redesigning the family, then they rebuild it. You're going to be really critical and grumpy today, aren't you? No, not at all. I'll say this. I am thrilled. I'm disappointed because of some things in the past that I supported, and I still do. But I saw how the devil took what we support, the old path concept and the homeschooling and the good stuff and the good this and that and whatever, and I see what the devil has done with that to twist it. Now, it doesn't have to do it, but he's done it. And like I said, this message this morning is for y'all. If you don't homeschool, that's got nothing to do with it. I want you to see what's going on to kids. The promises they make are marvelous, but I'll say it again, the results are still damning to our children. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Let me show you a verse there. If there's ever a verse that our children ought to be taught and get a hold of, it's Proverbs chapter 30. I'll show you this verse. Now, folks out in the web world, this is not just after homeschoolers. And folks, this is not just a homeschooler message at all. We homeschooled, and I learned a lot from that, and I'm still all for it. But everybody can't do it. You still got kids. I want you to see what's going on in the world of good. Isn't that the devil? Then you put my coat on? You don't think the devil's going to go after you? He's not going to make them queer. He's not going to do all that kind of stuff. He's going to get them with what's good. You can't get them any other way because you're teaching them what's right. Man, I'll tell you, what's the point of even having kids? Oh, it's not that big a deal if you read your Bible. And you just watch out for the enemy, amen. You can deal with it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. See, what happens is our kids grow up with a King James Bible in a church, preaches a King James Bible. And it seems like most of them are jumping out into the world. Their aim is to be happy, to be a financial success, so they can have all the stuff they had when they were kids. Or, they want to be happy, and they want to be financially successful, so they can get the things they didn't have when they were kids, that their parents wouldn't let them have. One or the other. In other words, the kids could leave this whole scene wanting bucks, and they want to be happy. And the verse, I think, would be so good if our kids could ever get a hold of, or even we as adults, Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? And that, you see that? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Something's happening. But that's another sermon, that thing there in Proverbs. I just wanted you to see that. Boy, if we could all get a hold of that thing. But again, it's just balanced even right there. Returning to the old path is an invitation to disaster. Really? I thought you were all for that. I am all for that. We have to remember that just because it's old-fashioned and doesn't from the early days of America, it doesn't have to mean that it's right. You're kidding. Well, that verse in Jeremiah says it brings rest to the soul. Remember that? Go back to the old past, it'll bring rest to the soul. But I don't see that taking place. I see more misery, legalism, bondage, frustration, rebellion from the kids, kids lacking strength, they lack God's design, moms are being wasted, and dads are being beaten down. And we're trying to go back to the old path. Well, that's fine. But there's something going wrong here. Time to put the coat on? Am I just being personally grumpy this morning? Am I just going after specific people? No, I even tried to cover that. I'm not going after anybody at all. I would have to say been there, done that in some ways. But it's more obvious, and there's more things going on today. It makes it more scary. Go to Romans chapter 10, if you would. This is for everybody. This isn't just for anybody specific this morning. You all need to hear this. You're going to be able to chance to talk to somebody sometime about this stuff. Guarantee it. And if you haven't shut me out already or think I'm whacking on you, or you're going to sit there and you're going to think, oh, then what are we supposed to do? That's a good reaction. I understand why you would say that. But hang in there. You'll see what we're supposed to do. Romans chapter 10, verse 2, 3, and 4. Verse 1 says it pins it down to the Jews. But we're with Paul. We know this can still be applied to anybody else too. If I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. This is not about anybody's zeal of God. He says here they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to the book, amen? Is this not the source of knowledge right here? I mean, people that go to Alpha, people that are in these holiness churches, people that are Hiles people that are Ruckman people that are into their Bibles or just not even into their, just whatever, you know, they really have a zeal of God. They really want to do right in this wicked and perverse country. But they just don't have the knowledge, that's all. You just don't know their book. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And then you remember how we dissected this verse, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He just isn't the end of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness. We still should walk what we should walk. But the law is now is not there for righteousness. Jesus Christ walked the walk. He's the one that's credited with the God's righteousness. He is God's righteousness. We submit ourselves to God's righteousness and not ours. We submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. And because He walked the walk, the law is no longer there for the purpose of righteousness because He's the righteousness. Our righteousness now is just because we love Him. And if we could get a hold of that statement right there, the rest of this sermon wouldn't be necessary. Because what's going on in this old path thing is they're going back to righteousness, but they're going back to righteousness as a law. Do you follow that? We all still want to do the right thing. We all still want to do right. And we all want to do right according to the book. But their way of doing right is wrong. And I'll show you tonight. Major. You will have no doubt tonight. If you get the flu this afternoon, get a Ziploc bag and wear it when you come to church. Come and hear this stuff tonight. Put a couple holes in that thing and we'll zip you in that thing and you know, you won't spread any germs. You will hear what's going on. Consider this. And don't make any final conclusions till we're done, because I can't wear the coat. You're just going to have to listen to me this morning. If we were to go back to the old paths of America, I didn't realize this until last night as much as I realize it now, but majority of old America was Calvinistic. I mean, I kind of knew that there were some guys back there. You go back and you read some of these sermons and some of these guys, what they preached and some of the lifestyles and the whole thing. Those guys preached some pretty powerful messages. But they had to. Their eternity depended on it. There's people today that preach marvelous sermons about doing right, and they just put the guilt on you, and they just get people to come to that altar and just pray and cry and change their lives. Well, they scare them to death that they're going to go back to hell. Folks, if we didn't have eternal security, amen, we would all be walking a whole lot better. We are spoiled little brats because God cannot push us away. Matter of fact, I had a good talk with Thomas. I don't believe that we are even in the chastise mode. Now watch me get clobbered in the next couple of days. I really don't believe God even chastises His children these days. Even when they're doing wrong, He gives them the book. Remember the four-part thing we talk about God's discipline program: words, thorn of the flesh, pruning, I think it is, or taking something away, and then finally He wails on you. You've been doing anything that you've been getting away with for years? What's this problem? Why is He whacking on you? He beat His own son. We can't get to God without going through Jesus Christ, amen? I believe that God can't get to us without going through Jesus Christ. And when He needs to chastise us, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He took our spanking. So we're living in an age that Paul calls the age of what? Grace. Totally. I mean totally. We have no threat. We are not to live by the fear. We live by grace. I know the Bible talks about fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom and that whole thing. I have no problem with that. It's all there. But the rightly divided path to the old path is a path of grace. And if that's the case, you mess up. And if you start to get these shuns down and this doctrinal stuff, you will realize that you're doing wrong. You will realize that you should be spanked. But you will realize how much God does love you, that He sacrificed His own son. And because of that, you're not getting spanked. Man, that ought to do a number on you. And you start doing right. Just because. There I go spitting again. I've got to close these curtains here. Now, is that not what we've seen in the last couple of years going through this book like we have? We've been through Thessalonians. We've been through Timothy. Well, in the last couple of days, I've been reading through Timothy. I want to preach Timothy again to us men. Oh, I want to go back and preach John chapter 17 to us men. Oh, just, I'll tell you. And it's only because God offers the stuff, and if you don't want to do it, I just don't see Him. I just don't see it. This old paths walk, this rebuilding the family stuff, they are rebuilding the family with obedience and the threat of disobedience. And if you disobey, God's going to do a number on you. And I don't see that in the Scriptures. I see it in Hebrews. And boy, He does a number on them. He does it because He loves you. Are we not rightly dividing? Then maybe we got a problem here, but I don't see us claiming Hebrews except spiritually. And maybe He does some stuff to us on a spiritual basis. I mean, you get up and you find out your house burned down or your office burned down, you lost your job or whatever, right away, what do people think? Oh, what have I done? God's getting me for such and such. I don't believe that's the case. It might be the devil getting you. God might be allowing it. Maybe it's just part of your growing. Don't sometimes, remember Gip saw Luke going to go up that hill on the bike? Remember that story? And on the other side of that hill was a building. It's a pile of dirt. And there's a building right there. And Gip said, he stood there and said, well, he'll never do it again. He let him go up that bike. You can see Luke. Little Luke with little flat top hair. And just pile right into that building. And Sam's over there. He learned his lesson. I think God let that happen. A lot. Listen, I told you I'd not do that, but if you want to do that, you're going to reap what you sowed. Folks, you haven't even all reaped what you sowed yet. I'll tell you, God's grace is marvelous. And it isn't just the modern Christianity ecumenical grace that God loves everybody. He offered them His Son. Toward them, the Bible says, if they reject His Son, they're rejecting His love. They're not His to love. So I'm not saying that. You must be born again. You must put your trust in Jesus Christ. You must hear the gospel. You must hear the truth. You must believe it, and you must trust Him. That's Ephesians chapter 1. Romans chapter 10. Full of stuff about salvation. I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying here this morning, the devil is taking us, and he's taking us for a ride with goodness. And good things. Good history. Good books. Good teachings. The old path. But I'll show you tonight details what's going on. I've got to keep saying that. Listen to this. This is the Calvinistic bunch of American history. Some of the major names, I think you probably know a lot of them. John Calvin, duh. Got to start with him. The Puritans. Benjamin Keach. And they come up with two of these things called the London Confessions of 1644 and 1689 and the Philadelphia Confession of Faith. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, it means a whole lot to Baptists. These people don't follow the book, they follow those confessions. Ever had to learn a confession? I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, or whatever. The Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, you know, the AA Creed. I don't know, whatever creeds are out there. And people will take those creeds and follow those, but not the book. Anyway, you'll see something tonight. Christmas Evans? Anybody know Christmas Evans? Massachusetts Bay Colony settlers, Cotton Mather. I didn't know this. The first colleges, Harvard and all that bunch, I knew that they had started by Christians. They're Calvinist Christians. The Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield. Southern Baptist Convention was founded by a Calvinist, J.P. Boyce. There's that initial thing again. You know. J.P. Boyce, John Elliott, first missionary to the Indians, David Brainerd, 100 years later, missionary to the Indians, William Carey, Adoniram Judson, how'd I do? Much better this time. John Bunyan, John Newton, wrote Amazing Grace, Augustus Toplady, wrote Rock of Ages, William Cowper, there is a fountain filled with blood, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, these Presbyterian ministers, J.C. Ryle, D.M. Lloyd Jones, J.C. Philpott, the Baptist, B.H. Carroll, Henry Mann, Matthew Henry, A.A. Pink, M.F. Paulson. Doesn't that sound good? A little bit more old pastorish. M.F. Paulson. How you doing, M.F.? Yeah, it just doesn't work. We have to make sure that we go back to the old paths. And I'm not saying to go back, not to go back to the old paths. What I'm going to try to show you today is how somebody's taking everybody down the wrong path to the right, to the old path, the wrong way. We need to take the rightly divided way to the old path. Are you getting tired of that rightly divided thing yet? That is the key to being right with Christianity. Is to understand that book and understand that this isn't written to us. This is written for us. This is written to us. This is written to a man. This is not written to a woman. This is written to a woman. This is not written to the man. If we learn those divisions, we're already dispensationalists. You believe in the Old Testament, New Testament? Okay, you're already that's two dispensations. You already know how to rightly divide. This is rightly divided some more. Take the Old Testament. Well, let's say, divide that thing right down there. You got Abraham, you got Noah, and you got Adam, and you got that crowd. Okay, you come up to the New Testament. New Testament doesn't really begin until the death of Jesus Christ. So all that early stuff in Gospels, that's really Old Testament stuff, according to Hebrews. And that's where we still apply that thing. Okay, then you got some of that stuff in Acts. You got some of Peter's gospel in Acts. Peter taught about the Old Testament salvation. Repent. Then you got Paul coming here. Peter, get it right. Straightens out Peter. Goes out there and God says, we tried the Jews and they're not. We tried my people. They just keep ignoring me. They killed Stephen. And God says, adios. We're now going to the Gentiles. Paul, get on your little camel and get going. Goes out there, preaches to all the Gentiles, and that's where we are today. And if we understand that, we can go back to Jeremiah, Old Testament. If we go back to that thing in a rightly divided fashion, we can do it properly. But these people are not taking people back properly. And it's a huge movement. It's just catching on like fire. Well, of course. Look at the families. Look at the children. Everybody wants their kids to be doing right. Everybody wants their kids to learn the old American. I love American history. I just love American history. Got to keep going. Page 3. This is an amazing... Are you hot?
I'm hot.
You're not hot?
Okay.
Well, I'm hot.
So there goes your iron cups. Okay. Everything. Okay.
This sermon this morning is hugely timely. It just amazes me how God shows us things in a timely fashion for what's going on. I get a phone call from somebody, a pastor out east, and he asks me questions about this whole thing. And I tell him what I've learned and what I've seen. And I think, well, I think I'll type into doing a search thing and find out what their statements of faith are. That's the kicker, you know. They put down all the stuff they believe, and everybody should, and all that kind of stuff, know where they're coming from. But boy, I could not believe what I saw. I mean, I failed as a pastor in some ways, but I did not know that some of this stuff was so bad. I should have spotted this a couple years ago. But praise the Lord, we spotted today, amen. I guess what I have to ask you this morning is this. I probably should put my coat on for this, but now with the sleeves folded, I know I can't. We'll find out today just how King James only you really are today. We'll find that out. We'll see if Dad really is the one that makes the decisions. And we'll find out if parents really love God more than their children. Ooh, the heat quit. Just got a pin. How King James are you? You believe that book? Right there. For what it says? Even when it warns against good things? My music message doesn't go over well when I start talking about how the devil uses good music. You got to be kidding. Does Dad really make the decisions? Dad, you've got to listen up today. You've got to see the dangers. I'm not saying the old path is wrong. I am saying there's a dangerous path to the old path that everybody's taken. And then finally, do you love God more than you love your book? I'm going to love God more than you love your children. Which basically means you love that Bible more than your children. You know? Well, just for kind of a review, from a pastoral standpoint, you know that it's my calling and it's the work of this ministry to edify you towards perfection. Did you get all that now? I put the coat on for this portion. I know I do. Because I've got to look pastoral when I say these things. Because I know y'all know me too well. I feel like Popeye now with those sleeves stuffed in there, you know. That doesn't help the image, does it? Not at all. But that's, and we talk about perfection. We're not talking about walking that perfect life. We know that the Bible defines perfection as complete. Okay? It says in Ephesians, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, complete man, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is not my desire to teach y'all to be good Baptists today. That's not the case at all. My desire, my calling is to help you see what is good. We're supposed to hold fast to that which is good. We're supposed to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 20. Like I said, this is all introduction. I think this will be hard enough to get that you need to have this kind of an introduction. And our visitors might wonder, boy, this is not one of your normal messages. Well, it's not. But I hope you still listen and understand what's going on here, because there's a major deception going on in America. There's a major deception going on in churches. There's major deception going on in Bible-believing churches. There's major deception going on in homeschooling families. There's major deception going on in school families. The devil is not going to give up until he has gone to the top. That is his goal. And if we can look back at all that stuff, he's just about there. And just before he gets to that final spot in people's lives, God's going to go, excuse me. Did you enjoy the ride? You know. And he's done. We went to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is Paul's commandment to us, to me, to men, the whole deal here especially. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's the case of the local church. And you know that I put dads in that position with their family. Same kind of a deal. You know. Jeremiah says, I'm supposed to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I want you to get this today. Jeremiah also says, I'm supposed to show you in the book distinctly. Distinctly. I'm supposed to help you give the sense. I'm supposed to cause you to understand. I'm not supposed to just put it out here and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. I'm supposed to cause you to understand. You need to get this morning. I'll try to present it in such a manner. Let's do this. Let's spend a couple minutes and let's just do a quick... I'll tell you. Tons of scriptures here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Do a quick review here this morning. How important is Paul? Let's check with Paul one more time. We've been over this a couple times. I know that you've all told me that you learn by repetition, so we're going to rep it today. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to do this quickly. That's not even the body of the introduction. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Paul teaches was given to him by Jesus Christ. If it wasn't given to him by Jesus Christ, if we didn't believe that, the rest of this New Testament is gone because it all begins with Paul. It's all Paul. Every one of those starts off with I, Paul, da-da-da-da. You know? Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 3. These are the verses you're going to have to show your friends and family. When you say you don't follow the teachings of Jesus, they're going to look at you like some nut until you can show them we follow the Jesus of teachings as they were taught to Paul. That's the key. We leave Paul out of this. We are nothing but Old Testament Christians. Not even Christians. Old Testament people thinking we're Christians living the Old Testament gospel. You've got to show them these verses. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of... He's in jail now for all these things. Prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, blah, 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 blah. See? This is Paul. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just about 15 pages over. Depends upon how big a Bible you have there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. And basically, he just kind of defines all the whoremongers and the things that are going out there. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, trusted Paul with the gospel. And Paul's gospel is different than Jesus' gospel. And Paul's gospel is different than the gospel for the tribulation. We are in Paul's age. We've got to deal with that. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know if this helps you any. We've been over this before. Just how much does Paul care? Does he really care? Is he in this for the money? Did he like the prestige he was getting? No. Sorry. Go to Romans chapter 2. One more verse. Cannot miss that one. Boy, cannot miss this one. Romans chapter 2. Oh. That was probably really loud on the tape there. Sorry. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Boy, we got to get this one. This is a verse that says we will be judged by Paul's gospel. That's how important this gospel is from Paul. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, right? But according to Paul's gospel, my gospel. So you see, we're still being judged by Jesus Christ, but we're being judged by Jesus Christ by what he told Paul. I don't believe for a second that Jesus Christ is going to pull out the gospels and hold us accountable to those gospels. It's not going to happen. But boy, he's going to pull out from Romans to what comes before we are. Oh, here we go. You know, all the way through. before Hebrews. What's before Hebrews? Philemon. Romans to Philemon, there is your judgment test right there. And even amongst that, some of that's not written to you men and to you ladies. Even that gets... God is really pinning that thing down. I mean, if I was getting to where I thought I was going to be dying pretty soon, man, I'd be Romans. I got to read that. Okay, see, 2.5 hours. How about 7 hours a day? I got a test coming up here in a couple months or a couple years or whatever. How am I doing? Oh, I'm not doing. Oh, I'm going to clean that one up. That's what they're trying to get us to do by fear. Do you realize? I don't care how old you are today. If you trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are as clean as Jesus Christ in God's eyes. You've been separated from your what? Flesh. That means your flesh still, whatever word you want to use, reeks, stinks. We have got sin within us. We have the same sin in us that Saddam has in him. We could do just what he did, even as a Christian. Quit reading that Bible. Get in that situation. That sin that dwells within can do the same thing with you, but you'd still be clean. Even if you're going to get out there and try to walk this old path, walk, and you're trying and you're failing and you're miserable, blah, 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 you know that you're still clean in God's eyes. Your flesh has some problems. So why would God spank you? He didn't even see it. But Jesus Christ knows it. And that's why he's knocking on the door in the last days to fellowship, because he gets run out of fellowship. And that's why the Holy Spirit gets quenched, because the Holy Spirit's inside here sealed. He gets quenched. He gets grieved. But why would God thank you? He doesn't see it. Are you getting the grip of the book? Isn't that exciting? And I think that other than our visiting folks, I think most of you folks have seen the scriptures that I showed you. And it's not just some Paulson teaching. It's just, that's what the Bible says. It makes all the sense in the world to me. It's absolutely marvelous. So what's going on? Why don't people see this stuff? Well, you know what it all boils down to? This whole entire thing, all these things right here I'm going to show you tonight. Oh, better bring a pillow. It all boils down to a different Bible. That is it. And we get to that now? Not quite. It's coming. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Ephesians chapter. Now we get to Ephesians chapter 1. LD, tell me, where's the verse that says that we're going to be judged by Paul's gospel? Quick. I don't know. We need to know that. Romans 2:16. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I preached this probably about a year ago. When I say Romans? Did I say Romans just now? Ephesians. That's what I thought. Thank you. I just do those things to make you realize I'm human just like you, in case you forget. Everybody worships their pastor except Touche Baptist Church. And that's good that you don't. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, he prays for his people all the time. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of... These are things Paul wants us to get. He's praying that we get these things. That is neat. I preached this about a year ago, and I said, fathers, this is your little list from 17 down to 19, 16 through 19. This is what you want your kids to get. Here's a list of things that you can check to see if you're teaching this to your children. Because I'm supposed to check that stuff, and as a pastor, try to get you to see that stuff, because Paul's trying to get us to see that stuff through this book. So, that's a neat thing. You can look at those later. Ephesians chapter 3. I tell you, Paul cares. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. That's one place. for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Therefore we get Christian, by the way. Another one. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of... And there's another list of things he wants us to get as Christians. Paul really cares. Boy, Paul cares. I'm not even going to get to what I want to get to. Let's just keep going here. Let's go to... Let's not do that. Let me show you. Let me just tell you this. Paul has a lot of warnings. Acts chapter 20, he warns about the wolves that come from... We got to look at this one. Ah, we've had an 8-hour service today. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Let me show you one of these anyway. After all the things Paul writes, and he tells us how much he cares, how much he wants God to bless us and all that stuff, he has a lot of warnings. A lot of warnings. He warns. He's, beware, beware. And this one in Acts chapter 20 is an amazing one to me. You've heard probably all the others. You probably don't recognize this maybe. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. He just got done saying that we're supposed to feed the flock. He says in 29, for I know this. Remember, he has talked to Jesus Christ. He's been there. He's seen him. He knows what's going on. He says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, we know that. They're everywhere. You turn on your radio, there's some grievous wolves looking to feed you some lies. You get newsletters, you get tapes from somebody else, you got a potential of having a grievous wolf come in there and just eat you alive. What do your kids listen to? What do you play for your children? Are you turning on wolf music? David was given a tape a number of years ago. Was it just music or was it just the sound of the wolves? Remember what he got from... I think it was just sounds of wolves. Whoo, the stuff we listen to at night, sort of, only these are... man-eating wolves, you know. And we listen to that stuff and, oh, you know, this is what we have going on. Look at verse 30. Also, of your own selves shall men arise. Oh, also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. There's people from within our own church that would like to get a church started with some of you folks. That's what's happening all over the country. And this family ministry that's coming around, they're taking people out of churches and they're following them like they're disciples. Well, I realize that a lot of churches are wrong. A lot of churches are crummy. A lot of churches have run out of stuff. They're not following the book. I realize that. I realize that there are people all over this nation that don't have a good church to go to. I realize that. But there are people out there that have a good church to go to, and they're still leaving those kind of churches to follow these guys that are making them into disciples for these people. All based on the family. And it sounds so good. Paul warns about that. There's a couple of them. He tells us not to walk in the vanity of our mind. Remember that one in Ephesians? We talked about that. People will be led away with the error of the wicked in Peter. He warns us about being spoiled with philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, and rudiments of the world. He warns us about dogs, evil workers. He says that God is a jealous God. He only wants one bride. He's a jealous God. He talks about another gospel. Paul's afraid that we're going to fall into another gospel. And he's concerned in Thessalonians that the tempter would come and tempt us. And that's what's happening. The tempter is using the family to tempt people into this newly designed family, into this newly designed church. And it is a church. They just don't have a single building. Oh, I tell you. Why don't you just tell us the details? That's for tonight. I want to show you something else. I want to show you how simple it is to solve this whole problem. It's hugely simple. It's unreal. And if we'd have done this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago, if we'd have done this in 1988 when all that RSV stuff came over and everybody just said, take a hike, we wouldn't be in the position we're in today in America. Right after 1888 comes 1900. Right after 1900 comes World War I, World War II. All these things that were going on. All these things. We win? Yeah, how many millions of people did we lose? We've been duped by the media to think that America won the war. We wouldn't have even had the war if we'd have stuck to that book in 1888. We wouldn't be having pigs and chickens giving us the flu if America go back to this book. This is so simple, I should save it for another day. I got to get into some other stuff. He says in Timothy, from such withdraw thyself. From such turn away. Don't fall for the vain words. He says in Ephesians 4, grow up. That's what he says. I'll do these again tonight. He says in Corinthians, open your eyes to the right light, not the angel of light. He says to go out and reprove, rebuke, exhort. In other words, preach. He says to have no company with a brother who is dangerous to your family. Now the issue is, are they really dangerous to the family, or are they just a little different? Don't claim that thing and have no fellowship with somebody because their kid is going to come over and corrupt your kid. That's not what we're talking about here. Unless it really is going to corrupt your kid. And then you get into this, we hate each other type stuff, and that's not what the church is all about. Amen. If somebody else's kid is going to corrupt your kid, it's probably because your kid is A, corruptible, and B, you're not paying attention to your kid because you're supposed to know what they're doing. You can't put two kids together and have them just play nicely the rest of their life. It does not happen. Don't be so lazy that you think it's gonna. You gotta watch. You gotta be careful. And contrary to most parents' belief, your kid is just as rotten as that other kid. That wasn't very good, amen. I mean, my precious little kiddo was just as rotten as those other kids. Amen, Beck? Ma'am, she doesn't know how to knock on the wall from the nursery. She down there with her. Anyway. They are. They're just kids, amen. They're just kids. But anyway, here's what I want to show. Now we got to keep doing this here. Go to Proverbs 27, please. I'm pretty bossy this morning, aren't I? Go to Proverbs 27. Would you please turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 27? And I would like to show you a really exciting verse. Now, men, especially us men, if we would realize the dangers, doesn't even mean it's going to happen. That's what danger is. Doesn't mean you're going to get hit by a train, but you could. So you stop, look, and listen. You just stop before the track. You're not going to get hit, but it's a dangerous place to play. Amen. Took the kids to Staten Island every Christmas back there in New York City, and there's a train that goes by, the Staten Island train, whatever they call that thing, goes by that church right behind the church, and the middle bar, the middle rail on that thing was as hot as you can imagine. You touch that thing, and the other, you're history. And I got a bunch of kids at a church like this right out back. Well, I probably made the mistake of saying, "Don't go back to the track." And I hardly slept on those trips. I mean, I guess I must have a little bit. Because I find out a couple years later, all the different activities that went on behind the church, like 3 in the morning, which I thought I was awake, back there playing around on those tracks, putting pennies on the tracks, the whole thing. If they'd have touched that middle track when they were over here messing with this thing, I'd have had fried student. Which, in some cases, might not have been all that bad. But it's dangerous. Proverbs chapter 27 tells us men, verse 12, you want to be a prude? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. I'll just apply that to the family. The man, the prudent father, will see that there's some dangers here, and he will deal with those dangers, and if it's so dangerous, he just won't go there and play. That's what a man's supposed to do for that family. That's what I said. How King James are you today? When we're done with this thing tonight, how are you going to deal with this? You just going to throw it out? From such turn away, he says. From such withdraw thyself. Don't fall for the vain words. Grow up, he says. Open your eyes to the light. A prudent man is going to open up this book, and he's going to compare this stuff, and he's going to go, that's dangerous. Either throw it out, or deal with it properly. But pastor, here, famous phrase, but pastor, this is good stuff. Yeah, it is. A lot of it is really good stuff. I mean, it's good stuff. Let me show you something that might be kind of interesting to you. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Now we're doing the main message. I got 6 minutes to do the main message, which really isn't that big a deal. I gave you the introduction. I gave you the preface. Now's the introduction. Tonight's going to be the main sermon. Do I need to review? Do I need to put the coat on and review here? Do I need to put my coat on and review? You're hot. You're tired. You might not see all this kind of stuff. It's all Paul. Amen. Paul's warning us, and he gave us all the solutions. I'm repeating myself. I know it gives another 10 minutes. But do you see what Paul's, how we could solve this whole thing? Get back to the book. And if it's not good, throw it out. Okay. I want to show you just a little bit here what God thinks of the family. Well, we all know what God thinks of the family. It's great. He designed it. Yes, He did. He designed a husband. He designed a husband to love his wife, to die for his wife if need be. He designed the man to provide for the family. He designed the woman to submit to her husband. And He told the kids to love their parents, obey their parents. The family is there. God designed the family. But like anything that's out there, it can become an idol. It can take the place of God. It can go above God. It can make the decision before God. Well, husbands, your wives can be your idol. And wives, your husbands can be your idol. If it comes before God, it's a bad idol. You might love the guy, but you make a decision based on your wife's happiness or on the book. Don't go there. That's tough stuff. Children, I love you. You can't have it. What do you mean we can't have it? It's dangerous. It's going to cause you to... They're not going to understand. And I said before that a parent does not always have to explain their decision to their children. Even though the great word about... we got anybody about that age in here? Why? You know the why thing? And after a while, you just said, just because, okay? Just because Mama says so. That's okay. That's okay. They get older, they'll understand. For the longest time, I guess David thought that we had sheltered him from all the garbage. I don't know where he comes up with that idea, because I know what he's seen in his earlier life. But he went into shock in the Marines. And for a while, he said, boy, I wish you guys hadn't sheltered me from that, because it nearly killed me. And then to this day, he'll do the same thing for his children. He understands now. He does. So amen, you know. Have no other gods before me, even if it is your wife, even if it is your husband, even if it's the church. Is it your family? You know. Interesting point here. You know Dobson, the focus on the family thing? Chinese newspaper. Communist China. Christian killing China, you know, had an ad in one of their main papers, for Focus on the Family. And right below it, down a little ways in the page, they said that there was another news article telling unregistered Christians, unregistered churches, to stop it before we get you. Same people. Now, something's wrong here. If they'll accept Dobson because of the family thing, and China with family, they'll put up with Dobson. There's something wrong with that Focus on the Family right there. Here's another one. I got to Joshua. Don't I keep your finger in Joshua. Turn to Psalm 119. Sorry about that. Turn your heart toward home. Boy, that sounds good. Yeah, if your heart's away from your home, you need to get your heart back to home. I have no doubt about that. However, Psalm 119, verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. That's where the heart's supposed to go. That's what David said. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes. Statutes, that whole chapter is talking about the Bible, the Word of God. Our heart is supposed to be where? Turn your heart back to this book. That's what ought to be out there. If we go to Joshua 24, which is where you were a second ago, verse 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. If you go to Kings, he says that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. Proverbs chapter 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Jeremiah, they neither incline their ear, but walk in counsels and imaginations of their evil heart. Jeremiah 11, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil. It's in there a couple times. We don't need to put our hearts to home. We need to put our hearts back to this book. Now, Pastor, you just read stuff about obeying the commandments. Right. And if you go back to that path, you'll be wrong. If you're going to go back to obey those commandments, you're going back to bondage. Your heart is taking you back to bondage, which is exactly what Peter was warning against. Remember that? Chapter 2, verse 18, right in there? We need to put our hearts towards God. We need to put our hearts towards this book and find out what it is that pleases God. And we'll do those things because of what He's done for us. Totally, totally based on love. Do you want your kids to obey you in your home? Because if they don't, you will beat the snot out of them. They'll obey you. I mean, I'm convinced. I am so anxious for this old PAS movement to grow up and see just what these kids are going to do. If they're going to obey the book, they're going to obey it like it's a bondage. It's a Baptist rule book. That's the Hiles crowd. Then you're going to get that bunch out there that's going to obey the... They're not even going to obey the book, but they're going to know the book. That's the Ruckman crowd. Then you're going to get those kids that aren't going to be interested because they were brought up by having to obey this book and it wasn't fun. It went against their flesh. And when they get a chance, they are out of here. Possibly because they didn't even see mom and dad doing it. Why should I have to do it, even though that's what you taught them? Something's going to happen over time. But we haven't got time. I don't want your kids to be in that situation. Oh, we got to just look at it this way here. Who was the one deceived, Adam or Eve? Eve was deceived. So Adam just chose his wife over God. There's an example. There's a guy that puts a family before God. And we're paying for that one. Can't wait to talk to the guy. You know, all he's going to say to me is, okay, that's fine. What would you have done in my shoes? Well, I would have had to. I had to change the subject. Adam, you didn't have shoes. You know, how kids are. They kind of try to distract you from the issue. You know. How about in Genesis? Who did Abram listen to? God told him, don't take the time. God said in Genesis 15:4, Abram, you're going to have your own child. You're going to have your own kid. Your kid. Sue and Lewis? Whoa. You're going to have your own kid, Lewis. And you're going to start a whole nation of Turners. And Sue's going to go, you know. Hey, Lewis, we got a maid out there working in the field. You know, that's where it went. And he said, okay. And he put his family before it, God told him, and they're still fighting about it. Ishmael and the Arabs and all that stuff. What did God tell Abraham to do with his kid, his family? If you love me, put that kid on that altar. Dare I? No, I dare not. Put a little kid up here. He's going to do it, amen? If he put that kid before God, he would have said, sorry, this is where we draw the line. I don't think you're King James, are you, God? You know. And he was willing to do it. And he would. And so, okay, just testing you. Just testing you. There's examples in that Bible where the family was put second to God. And there's places in that Bible where the family was put before God. God is not all this family that everybody's making Him out to be. Uh-oh. Numbers 14. You know one of the things those guys were whining about in the desert? They were whining because their wives and children are not having a good time. Let's look it up. Numbers 14:3. I think that's the right verse. Got to wake you up a little bit. Numbers 14, we're almost done. I got to 12:15 officially. Good thing you didn't ask me how long we preached when you called the other night. You know. Numbers 14:3. I think, is that what I said? Yep, 14:3. And wherewith hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? They're concerned about their family. Lord, why would you make me go to Touche Baptist Church? My kids hate it. Where can we go that my kids would like it? Putting the family before God. Look at Judges chapter 6, and then we're probably almost sort of done. Of course, it's going to take a while to find Judges. Just sorry. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. Judges 6:25, and it came to pass, the same night, got to fix that, that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Whoa. You know, some of our kids are going to do some stuff that us dads didn't do right. But anyway, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, fear of the family, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Chicken. He was a chicken. He did what God told him to do, but what was he afraid of? He was afraid of family right there. God does not put family where everybody's putting family today. And yet, husband, wife, children, it's an institution created by God. But it's coming between Christians and God. That's the movement that's catching everybody. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, and we'll be done this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Wow. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. So the family is there for a purpose. But it is not the main thing of Christianity. You need to have your family. Don't get it wrong. But what I'm going to show you tonight, and I'm going to show you in detail, how people that are lifting the family so high, they're lifting it above the truth. And they're being deceived. The issue is not whether a man can marry a man. That's a smokescreen. You're not teaching your kids that a man can't marry a man. You're not teaching that a man can marry a man. We're not doing that. So what's the problem here? The problem is we're being subtly diverted. And our kids and Bible-believing people are lifting the family so high, they're lifting it above God. Because the stuff I'll show you tonight is false doctrine. Serious. It isn't just not good stuff. It is a serious false doctrine. It's more serious than even I thought it was until I read their stuff. So, as we finish here this morning, you're probably thinking, well, our family's in no danger of that. We don't do that stuff. Well, our family does that stuff, and we haven't had that problem. Well, I'm going to show you tonight how it's going to affect us all. Because it's where modern Christianity, it's where modern Bible-believing people are heading. They're heading to this thing all over this country. And once again, Touche Baptist Church puts its foot down and says, no, we're not. And I hope Touche Baptist Church doesn't get smaller because of it. If it does, it does.
I don't expect it to.
I really don't.
I'm not worried about that. It's just going to put some stuff in the hands of the man. Dad, what are you going to do about it? And I don't expect any major inspirational innards, your stomach churning right now, because you haven't heard the stuff yet. That was just an introduction. I'll show you the details tonight. I've said that 1,000,000,000 times. I'm amazed. What? You know what I'm amazed at? Then we got. I'm sorry. We'll get out of here. I'm amazed that people that are King James Bible believing people don't see that. Well, before you crab on me, you didn't see it. I know that. I didn't see it either. I just figured they're good people. I'm not totally against them either, because I'm kind of into the family integrated. You know, I like that kind of a thought. What have I said about Sunday school? We don't even have Sunday school right now. They teach Sunday school, husband, mom, and dad, the whole thing, one big family sermon. And they don't have church on Sunday nights. I want to get into it tonight. No, it doesn't replace church. We saw that church has a biblical purpose. Just because it's wrong doesn't mean you throw it out. You change it. You correct it. They're becoming a church. And they got a false doctrine in that church. Oh, man. I just want to... Can we just skip lunch and we'll just go right into this thing tonight? Take a 5-minute stretch? No. This is the year 2004. We're not standing in the cornfields waiting for it to rain. The horses don't have to be fed. We'll just come back tonight if you can. I'll show you some details tonight that you will go, honey, this is some serious stuff. This just ranks right up there with Alpha. And you're getting snuckered into it like everybody else out there. Want to give you a couple? Okay, let's stand. And don't panic. I'm not going to read through all of this. This is just... It's amazing.